Blessed are you, Yehovah Elohim, King of the universe, who has given us the Torah of truth and planted everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yehovah, giver of the Torah, in the name of Yeshua, the light of the world. Amen. It's a really interesting parasha. I think the thing that always gets to me is the fact that Noah knew what was clean and what was unclean in the animals and in the birds, and the Torah hadn't yet been given. So today I want to speak on leaving the ark and how leaving the ark parallels with all the stake paid for in our salvation. I'm going to carry on from where Minister Yitzhak finished off last Shabbat, and I'll also be repeating some of last week's scriptures to get my point across. So we'll start with Bereshit 6:6-8, and we started with 9, and then I'll go to Bereshit 7:11. Yehovah regretted that he had made humankind on the earth. It grieved his heart. Yehovah said, I will wipe out humankind from whom I have created from the whole earth. Not only human beings, but animals, creeping things, and birds in the air. For I regret that I made them. But Noah found grace in the sight of Yehovah. And then further down in Bereshit 7 and verse 11, it says, on the 17th day of the second month of the 600th year of Noah's life, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and windows of the sky were opened. Noah's story is one, to me, of a perfect picture of the coming into the life of a believer. But there's more to it than just becoming a believer, just like there was more to it for Noah than just walking out of the ark. It's going further, which means we have to grasp things to enter into the fullness of Torah-based believing life. It's not just about getting out of the world of sin. It's not just getting set free from bondage. There is far more expected of us when we want to follow Yeshua and be obedient to him and to the word of Yehovah. Now, Yeshua is the word. Interesting enough to me, everyone concentrates on Noah building the ark and getting into it. And it stops there. The world knows about this story, but not only the part of getting into it with two kinds of animals and about the flood. Noah's story represents becoming a believer and doing what Yehovah asks of us, which is the example shown to us by Noah. As the world today only concentrates on the first part, believers understand fully how the first part applies to us and how we need to get out of the world. But the departure from the ark into a new world is not understood as much. Minister Yitzhak showed us last Shabbat that for the first time grace was used in Scripture, and it was in verse 8 of chapter 6. But Noah found grace in the sight of Yehovah. He finished on that. Noah caught Yehovah's eye. His love for Yah caught Yah's attention. His story shows us what grace is all about. It began when Noah entered the ark and all the fountains of the deep were broken up and the windows of heaven poured open. We go to Proverbs or Mishlei chapter 3 verses 19 to 20, please. Yehovah by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the deep or the springs burst open and the dew condenses from the sky. So the earth was only watered by a mist in Noah, before Noah's flood. There was no rain, there was no flood, there was only a mist. I'm going to read that in Bereshit 2:6. It says, rather, a mist went up from the earth, which watered the entire surface of the ground. But within the depths of the earth and the sky above were reservoirs of water. They were above and below, and still are to this very day. In Mishlei Proverbs chapter 3, verse 19, it says, Yehovah by wisdom founded the earth, by understanding he established the heavens. We also read last week from Bereshit 1:1, where in the beginning Elohim created the heavens and the earth. When he created them, he created them with the water reservoirs within them. So he had much of this locked up or packed away and hidden from the earth and from the heavens and from man's sight up until the day of the flood. Yehovah also made us, created us from the heavens and the earth as well. And this is why the heavens of the earth and earth are first mentioned in Bereshit 1:1. When Yehovah breathed his breath from heaven into man and took dust from the earth to make the body of man. We are made from two elements, one of heaven, one of the earth. We read last week in Bereshit 2:7, then Yehovah Elohim formed a person, Hebrew Adam, from the dust of the ground, which is Adamah in Hebrew. And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, so that he became a living being. And so we came from the dust, and we came from the heavens, or the wind, or the breath, and the ruach, all one word in Hebrew. Yehovah made us with the purpose of being great in his kingdom. And the depths of the breakup of the windows of heaven open when Yehovah speaks again. It is Yah's knowledge that causes the depths to break up and release the treasures, as well as the windows of heaven. It is his wisdom and his knowledge that do this, and this is why it's so important to go beyond just getting saved and begin receiving ministry from the word of Yah's knowledge and wisdom. And this is what unlocks and loosens the awesome wonders of what Yah can do in your life. And this is what we concentrate in our services as much as possible. When we bring Yah's word all the time, we're bringing his wisdom, we're bringing his knowledge, and we're passing it on to you. It's not Minister Yitzhak's knowledge or my knowledge, it's the knowledge from the word that we want to transfer to you. To unlock all this, we need to learn some things. As it says in what I will show you from the King James Version of Mishlei and from the Complete Jewish Bible, so I'll give you two versions. In Mishlei 3:19-20, it's Yehovah by wisdom founded the earth, by understanding he established the heavens, by his knowledge deep springs burst open and dew condenses the sky. Now in the King James Version, which was altered by King James to suit him, it wasn't the original, it's an altered version, although it's the first English printed version, but it was altered. It says, the Lord, not Yehovah by wisdom, but the Lord. Who's the Lord? Not my Lord and Master, my husband. Not any, you know, Lord that's got a title, but it's actually Yehovah by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath established the heavens, by his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. So it's been transferred differently. Just a little. Dew condenses from the sky. This says it comes from the clouds. The heavens speak of Yah's breath, which he breathed into man, which is the ruach, or the spirit that is within us. The earth is man's body. And as I said, ruach in Hebrew can mean breath, wind, or spirit. It's got three meanings. Just as Noah's flood with the fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven washed away all the world from all the sin that was in the world at the time, the knowledge of Yehovah will burst open and wash away all the nonsense in our understanding as well. It will wash away all the errors and all the misconceptions. This allows truth to be exploded inside us, and truth frees us from the limitations and the misunderstandings and the incorrect understandings that causes that what incorrect understanding cause in our lives. Yah's people are destroyed by lack of knowledge. Knowledge wipes out all things which brings destruction in our lives. Lack of knowledge brings upon we do things through lack of knowledge, but once we've received that knowledge, it wipes away all that destruction that we've done in the past. Mishlei Proverbs continues by saying in chapter 3, verses 21 to 26, "My son, don't let these slip from your sight. Preserve common sense and discretion. They will be life for your being and grace for your neck. Then you will walk your way securely without hurting your foot. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Don't be afraid of sudden terror or destruction caused by the wicked when it comes. For you can rely on Yehovah. He will keep your foot from being caught in a trap." This is what I love about Proverbs, because it teaches how to navigate through things in our lives. If we trust in him, we won't get caught in a trap. If we follow his word, we're not going to get caught in a trap. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16b to 20, it says, "In my prayers I keep asking Elohei Adonainu Yeshua HaMashiach, that is the God of our Lord, Yeshua the Messiah, the glorious Father, to give you a ruach, or spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you will have full knowledge of him. I pray that he will give you light to the eyes of your hearts, so that you will understand the hope to which he has called you, what rich glories there are in the inheritance he has promised his people, and how surpassingly great is his power working in us who trust him. It works the same mighty strength he used when he worked in HaMashiach to raise him from the dead and seat him at the right hand in heaven." And Ephesians 3:20, now to him who by his power working in us is able to do far beyond anything we can ask or imagine. You know, without his word, how do we trust him? Without his word, how do we get through things in our lives which to some people might think hopeless? As Minister Yitzhak said last Shabbat, Yah keeps things hidden. There's also power in us, but it is locked up and hidden away from sight. Knowledge breaks up the depths and loosens this power. The knowledge of the word will bring it to the surface, and then the power in us is able to come to the surface, and we're able to rise above all the troubles that are coming our way. Malachi and I have complete peace where he's at the moment, because we know Yah is in control. But if we didn't trust his word, we wouldn't. We'd probably be running around in circles saying, what can I do next? What can I, you know? But we don't have to. Yah is in control, because he puts that power within us to know like we know like we know that there's nothing to fear, absolutely nothing. And we've got complete shalom. In Bereshit, Genesis chapter 8, verse 4, it said, "On the 17th day of the seventh month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat." Ararat means the curse is reversed. And we were told last week in Bereshit 5, 28 to 29, Lamech lived 182 years and fathered a son whom he called Noach, which means restful. For he said, This one will comfort us in our labour, in the hard work we do with our hands, to get what comes from the ground that Yehovah cursed. So we were told that the ground was cursed last week. When he settles at Ararat, we learn that the curse is reversed. So in Bereshit chapter 8, verses 6 to 8, it says, after 40 days, Noah opened the window of the ark which he had built, and he sent out a raven which flew back and forth until the water had dried up from the earth. Then he sent out a dove to see if the water had gone from the surface of the ground. And in Luke 3:22, it says, the Ruach HaKodesh came down on him in a physical form like a dove. A voice came from heaven, you are my son whom I love, I am well pleased with you. As we know from scripture, the dove represents the Ruach HaKodesh, which was no different in the days of Noah. The Holy Spirit was released once again with the release of that dove after the curse had been reversed. So they landed on Ararat. They were there quite a while until the waters had completely subsided, although the curse had been reversed. And then the Holy Spirit, or the dove, was released. When many people attempt to go further and into the deeper, more meaningful way of being a believer, they are unfamiliar on how to do so and will go through revolving doors of many churches and faiths, seeking but never finding. Inside your life are two resources of leading, the raven and the dove. They can also be interpreted as the flesh and the ruach. Which one do we follow? Let's have a look at Romans 8, chapter 8, verses 5 to 8. It says, for those who identify with their old nature, the raven, set their minds on the things of the old nature, but those who identify with the ruach, the dove, set their minds on the things of the ruach. Having one's mind controlled by the old nature, the raven, is death. But having one's mind controlled by the Ruach is life and shalom. For the mind controlled by the old nature is hostile to Elohim, because it does not submit itself to Yehovah's Torah. Indeed, it cannot. Thus, those who identify with their old nature cannot please Yehovah. What do you choose to have lead you? Will it lead you to death or to life? We have to serve Yehovah, but the method we choose to serve him is going to be one of two methods: the newness of the Ruach or the oldness of the flesh. As Shaul says in Romans 7, verses 9 to 12, I was once alive outside the framework of Torah. I'll repeat that. I was once alive outside the framework of Torah. He was a Parush, but admitted to being outside the framework of Torah. But when the commandment really encountered me, sin sprang to life and I died. The commandment that was intended to bring me life was found to be bringing me death. For sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me. And through the commandment, sin killed me. So the Torah is holy. That is, the commandment is holy, just and good. Shaul explains how much he failed serving Yah, even though he was a Purush, part of the Sanhedrin, or ruling body of the day. But they were following the Babylonian order of tradition. And then said his problem was summed up as follows in Romans 7, verse 25. Thanks to Yehovah, through Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord. To sum up, with my mind, I am a slave to Yehovah's Torah. But with my old nature, the raven, I am a slave of sin's Torah. And in Romans 8, 1 to 2, which continues straight on from that last verse. Therefore, there is no longer any condemnation waiting those who are in union with Yeshua HaMashiach. Why? Because the Torah of the Ruach, which produces this life in Yeshua, in union with Yeshua HaMashiach, has set me free from the Torah of sin and death. Because failure comes by serving Yah through flesh, we need to stop serving through the flesh or walking after the flesh and walk instead after the Ruach or the Spirit. The newness of Spirit is the only route to go down in order to serve and please Yehovah. In Bereshit, Genesis chapter 8, verse 9, it said, "But the dove found no place for her to rest, for her feet to rest, so she returned to him, Noah, in the ark, because the water still covered the whole earth. He put out his hand, took her, and brought her into him in the ark." This contrasts the dove from the raven. Since we are told, "But the dove returned to Ruach, because it found no rest for its feet," we are supposed to understand that the raven did not return, because it did not find, because it did find, should I say, what it considered to be rest. Now, ravens are scavengers. They feed upon dead bodies. They are carrions or flesh-eating birds. And there will be many carrions around at this time. We're living in a time where the carrions are ruling our life, putting people out of work, stopping people from working, causing them to lose their jobs, causing them to lose their pay, and many have taken their life, set up mandates that have never been any proof for what they form. We are not in bird form, but we just have to look at the number of increased deaths through all age groups at the moment, and the authorities are doing nothing about it. To be carnally minded is death. The dove is repulsed by that, and those operating through the Ruach are repulsed by the increased deaths of this current era. And it's getting worse. Over in the Northern Hemisphere, they are making sure that the undertakers have enough time to be able to bury or cremate all the people they are expecting to die over the winter months. Because one, globalization, net zero, have caused them to shut down power, which means people are going to die from cold. Also, the more jabs they've had, the more likely they're going to get sick and die from that as well, let alone all of the people that are suffering or have died because of the adverse effects of those jabs. So those operating in the Ruach are repulsed by the increased deaths of this current era. Noah was looking for birds to not return in order to indicate to him that he could leave the ark. In Bereshit chapter 8, verses 12 to 13, it says, "He waited yet another 7 days and sent out the dove, but she didn't return anymore. By the first day of the first month of the 601st year, the water had dried up off the earth. So Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and yes, the surface of the ground was dry." Noah didn't leave the ark until the dove did not return. So the indication the raven gave in is not returning. So I'll say that again. The indication the raven gave in not returning was false. It was not yet time to leave the ark when the raven went out but did not return. And Noah understood that when the raven did not return, did not mean that it was still safe for him to get out. He waited for the dove, and he sent the dove out 3 times before it did not return again. We read that in Bereshit 8, 9 to 12. "Where the dove found no place for her feet to rest, so she returned to him in the ark, because the water still covered the whole earth. He put her out his hand, he took her in, brought her into the ark, and waited another 7 days. And again sent out the dove from the ark. The dove came in the evening, and there in her mouth was a freshly plucked olive leaf. So Noah knew that the water had cleared from the earth. But he still waited another 7 days. 3 witnesses. Do we see that? 3 witnesses. He didn't settle on the 2. He wanted the 3rd. So he sent him out the 3rd day, and she didn't return to him anymore. And that's when he knew it was safe. Noah stayed in the ark, and when the dove no longer returned, the dove representing the ruach represented the dove, and he follows the pattern of Yehovah and waits for those 2 or 3 witnesses. When the dove and raven were both loosed, and the raven did not return while the dove did for Noah to stay inside the ark, indicated that he leaned towards the evidence of the dove and not the raven. Had Noah taken the raven's refusal to return, he too would have also died. But he walked after the ruach and not the flesh. He ignored the flesh and believed in the ruach. They gave opposite messages. Your flesh will tell you to do things the ruach will never tell you to do in a million years. When you begin, or reshit, listening to the ruach like that, the message becomes clearer for you to have to grow. Next time the dove is loose and it returns, it has an olive leaf in its mouth. Now, olives are the source of anointing oil. And the oil is used in the Tanakh to indicate how Yehovah would empower and bless kings and Kohanim or priests. We are both kings and priests, according to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 6, which says, who has caused us to be a kingdom, that is Kohanim for Elohim, his father. To him be the glory and the rulership forever and ever. Amen. It's really strange that it says that we are Kohanim, because I got an email this week from Ancestry.com that showed me what was the most common name in my ancestry. Cohen was the top name of my DNA. And that's amazing to me, because we knew that we were probably Levites because of all the butchers in the family. But to have Cohen as the top name, that really surprised me. The leaf was in the beak or the mouth of the dove, representing, what does the mouth represent? What comes out of the mouth? The word from the ruach of Yehovah. You see, I see pictures in things. I can't visualize something I've never seen. But I can see a dove. I can see a leaf in its mouth. I've seen many pictures of that. But the beak is the mouth. And from the mouth of the dove is the word. Once you begin hearing the ruach of Elohim, you are learning from the ruach, and that is what is happening now. And this message is saying, this is a taste of what is out there in this new world, this new creation, this kingdom of Yehovah. There are entire trees full of leaves out there. That means there is an abundance of anointing outside of the ark. We are outside the ark. We can receive that anointing. The voice of the ruach is heard in the land. Now, the olives aren't the only fruit that's produced. Fig trees produce figs. And it's not like the hypocrite fig tree, where Israel had all the trappings of praise, but no fruits of praise for Yeshua. They didn't accept him. They had him crucified. There was no fruit of praise for him. In Mark chapter 11, 11 to 14, it said, Yeshua entered Jerusalem went into the temple courts and took a good look at everything. But since it was now late, he went out with the 12 to Beit Anyah. The next day, as they came back from Beit Anyah, he felt hungry. Spotting in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see if he could find anything on it. And when he came to see it, he found nothing but leaves, for it wasn't fig season. He said to it, "May no one ever eat from you again." And his Talmudim heard what he said. And in Yeshayahu, Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, it says, "I want to sing a song for someone, a love song about my loved one and his vineyard. He loved one, had a vineyard, and on a very fertile hill. He dug up its stones and cleared them away, planted it with the choicest vines, built a watchtower in the middle of it, and carved out its rock a wine press. He expected it to produce good grapes, but it produced only sour, wild grapes. Vines have tender grapes." Sean, are you still growing grapevines at your new home?
No.
Not yet? Haven't put in any yet? They used to have beautiful grapes in the last house. "Not wild grapes, as false Israel. And I see the church as false Israel." They think they have become Israel now. They think they're standing in place of Israel, but that is a false Israel who think they've replaced Israel at this time. "Let me assure you that there are many true Israelim worshipping Yah and the Ruach, in the Ruach and in his truth in this very day. Each one of you in this room, online, are one of them. We've come out of the ark and into his kingdom. The kingdom of Yah is within you. It is not a physical kingdom that the Parashim or the Pharisees were confused would come. Somehow, the Pharisees' error, which remains in Orthodox Judaism today, came into the church. And the kingdom of Yehovah is the world of the Ruach HaKodesh." In Bereshit chapter 9, verses 14 to 15, it says, "Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow is seen in the cloud, I will remember my covenant, which is between myself and you and every living creature of any kind, and the water will never again become a flood to destroy all living beings." How distorted and corrupt our world has become with a rainbow of six colours, not seven, is being shoved in our faces wherever we go, and we are expected to address those whose God it is to bow down to their pronouns. I have adjectives, I don't have pronouns. My adjectives are unique and awesome. I don't know what yours are, but Telehim or Psalms 139 tells me that, and I'm sticking with it. In Revelation, it tells us a throne stood. Kingdoms have thrones. In Revelation 4, verses 2 to 3, Yochanan says, "Instantly I was in the Ruach, and there before me in heaven stood a throne, and on the throne someone was sitting. The one sitting there gleamed like diamonds and rubies, and a rainbow shining like emeralds encircled the throne." And in chapter 4, verse 6a, it says, "In front of the throne was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. Like an island across a sea is still looked like crystal, which represents water immersion, was a throne where a rainbow was located." Revelation 5 and verse 7 says, "He came and took the scroll out of the right hand of the one sitting on the throne." Yeshua is the new Noach, who crossed over to the rainbow and shrouded throne with the covenant, and he took the book like Noach, received a covenant on Ararat, promised by the rainbow. And Yeshua, when he was died and went and sat on the right hand of Yehovah on that throne, he has in his hand the book of life, and each and every one of our names are written in it. As I've said many times before, we need to take the promises of Yehovah's word and through obedience to his Torah rule in his kingdom now. Kepha Aleph, or 1 Peter 3, verses 20 to 22 says, To those who were disobedient long ago in the days of Noah, when Yehovah waited patiently during the building of the ark, in which few people, to be specific, eight, were delivered by means of water. This also prefigures what delivers us now, the water of immersion, which is not the removal of dirt from the body, but one's pledge to keep a good conscience towards Elohim through the resurrection of Yeshua HaMashiach. He has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of Yehovah with angels, authorities, and powers subject to him. And further down in Kefa Aleph, chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, since HaMashiach suffered physically, you too are to arm yourselves with the same attitude. For whoever has suffered physically is finished with sin, with the result that he lives the rest of his earthly life no longer controlled by human desires, but by Elohim's will. For you have spent enough time already living the way of the pagans want you to live, in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, wild parties, and forbidden idol worship. Yehovah wants us to leave all that behind. Speaking of Noah and the flood, we read of Yeshua's resurrection and the ascension to the throne. Waters and throne, just like Revelation, the idea is that Revelation is taking Noah's story and trying to say it's showing us how to come into a kingdom of power over sin. Kefa clarifies it by telling us we must arm ourselves with the mind that we are freed from defeat and the power and anointing now. To do that, we have to stop following after the flesh, stop following after the raven, stop bowing to the doctrines of man. We can only do that if we have the same mind as Yeshua HaMashiach. You do not have to live after the flesh or be dominated by the flesh anymore. We have to take heed of the things of the Ruach. In Romans 8, chapter verses 11 to 13, it says, "And if the Ruach of the one who raised Yeshua from the dead is living in you, then the one who raised Yeshua HaMashiach from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Ruach living in you. So then, brothers and sisters, we don't owe a thing to our old nature that would require us to live according to our old nature. For if you live according to your old nature, you will certainly die. But if by the Ruach you will be putting to death the practices of the body, you will live. The anointing is to empower or anoint you to overcome the flesh while you are still in your mortal bodies." When you realize Romans 8:11 is not talking about the future but a present opportunity, then you can then realize there is a contrast with something else in Romans, and that comes from Romans 6:12. "Therefore, do not let sin rule in your mortal bodies so that it makes you obey its desires." The idea of the olive leaf in the dove's mouth, pointing to the whole kingdom outside the ark, is seen in Gethsemane. Gethsemane, or Gat Shamanayim in Hebrew, is where Yeshua travailed in prayer until he sweat drops of blood. It prepared him for the stake. It was there he died completely to self, one more time before he ever physically died. Gat Shamanim means garden of the olive press. Olives have been pressed in order to get the oil for them to be used as anointing oil. While Yeshua was denying his flesh in prayer, his Talmudim or disciples were sleeping, since their Ruach was willing, but their flesh was weak. Like Shaul said in Romans 7, they found that they were hindered by their flesh, and the choice of their flesh got the better of them. If there was ever an hour in which we need to stop walking after the flesh and walk instead after the Ruach HaKodesh, it is now. Let us not sleep letting our flesh have the best of us. It's time to see the anointing at work in our lives by denying ourselves and following the dove into all the blessings of the entire kingdom, and stop getting kicks out of looking through the window and only seeing and doing nothing else. Let us start afresh as Noah did and leave the ark, knowing that Yehovah will bless us as he blessed Noah. He is still faithful and true, and we still see the rainbow of the covenant in the sky to this very day. I'm going to ask Malachi to play a YouTube song for me now. It's called Not My Will. And the words are up there for you as well that you can look at while I sing it.
My heart is heavy, my spirit's broken, I am overwhelmed. My soul's in anguish, the road ahead is more than I can bear, but not my will, but your will. Father, I surrender.
Any questions before we move on? Move on to